This is what you may experience when dealing with teenagers. It's not worth it, Roy. Let's just give him our noses and let him go. That little bunny rabbit's going to get him. Sometimes teenagers can have this effect on us. All right. These are two teenage birds sitting up there on the tree. Says, hey, are you thinking what I'm thinking? I know, that's bad. Ignore that one. Close your eyes. Okay, then here's one that's a little more serious. BC. Man, he has got messages in his art. Unbelievable. I really like this one. You got Adam and Eve standing there, two individuals standing there. The apple's on the ground. He's looking down at this stain on his, whatever you call that thing, toga or whatever. It says, drat, I got fruit juice all over my suit. It says, take it off and I'll rinse it out, the lady says. What, and be naked? Just go behind that rock, silly. And then you see her washing it out down in the river, and you see this red stuff coming down through the river. And then she pulls it up, and it's white. In the midst of all the red, it's white. And he puts it on, and he's dripping, and dripping blood, but showing a white toga. Her toga that hit the ink is also, or blood, is also white, except for the top part that's still dark. And then it shows the last picture, the cross, with the trail of blood coming down through the water. Amazing. So, in the midst of all the humor and the fun things, we see that the beauty of the cross is wonderful, isn't it? Amen. And so, in the midst of working with teenagers and some of the challenges that come up, thankful, like we are in every situation, for the cross. Well, we have got this issue to deal with, issues that relate to counseling teenagers. The issue of counseling teenagers provokes many thoughts and emotions for people. Here might be a few of them. Some might think, no way. They're in a category all of their own. Don't want to touch it. Others might think, bring them on. They know little, but they think they know everything. I'll show them a few things. Another thing, another approach might be fear. I don't know where to start. I don't know what to say. I don't know what to do. That might be another one. Confusion. Who do I talk to? Do I talk to the parents, the teens? What if the courts are involved or the schools? What do I do? What if the parents are not saved? Bottom line, who do I counsel? Where do I begin? Here's another thing that might come up, okay, that you need to know about in the introduction. The topic I am addressing in this lecture deserves much more time and attention than one lecture. You could probably say that about a lot of lectures here, but I'm just telling you, this deserves a lot more time and attention. We're just starting. We're just going down that path. Here's something else to realize. This lecture is designed for the following purposes. To initiate further study, dialogue, and the writing of materials on counseling teenagers. I'm burdened about that. Age of Opportunity is a wonderful book. We've got a lot of little articles here and there about things. The heart issues are the same. I know that. I'm not saying they got different heart issues. But there's not a lot out there in biblical counseling dealing specifically with teenagers. Now, I will say that Ron Alton's done quite a bit in what he's with in his counseling ministry. But again, with the writing of materials, you don't see a lot. Then another reason underneath that, you've got a quote there that I do want to read to you. And it does say, it says, John Piper said in his book, don't waste your life. God created us to live with a single passion to joyfully display His supreme excellence in all spheres of life. The wasted life is the life without this passion. God calls us to pray and think and dream and plan and work to not to be made much of, but to make much of Him in every part of our lives. And I just want to say, it's my desire that in this lecture, you know, and in this workshop, that this would be a demonstration of His supreme excellence, and it would be a help to us in pursuing His supreme excellence. So that's the point, and that's the direction I want to go with this. Here's another thing. To challenge our thinking on these issues, to really help us just to think about them. These are rough questions. These are rough issues. And I would venture to say there's going to be probably a fair amount of disagreement in this room on this very issue. So with that in mind, I'll say this. Also, to provide some direction based on biblical principles regarding counseling teenagers. And again, we're just starting. Okay? Just an introduction. I realize I'm a young guy. I've been here for only 7 years. I have the privilege of serving in this ministry. And so it's one of those things where, okay, Lord, I want to trust you and I want to push forward for your honor and glory. I don't want to move too fast at these type of things, but you've given me a passion for teenagers and I want to slowly begin to do more and more about that. And so I'm thankful to be given this opportunity, and I'd like to pray for us and pray with you at this time. Lord, it is a tremendous privilege and a tremendous responsibility to handle your word accurately. And in this matter of teenagers, we've got a time where children, as is listed, they go from children to adults. And we've got this interesting period of time that in recent history we have labeled as adolescence or the teenage years. They've been labeled by our world as extremely complex. And in many ways, we've bought right into that. We ask for your wisdom and your guidance. It is a difficult culture to raise children in, but history has had many different and difficult cultures to raise children in. It's the same principles. It's the same truth. We have that same responsibility. So I ask that you would guide us in this time as we are looking at your word and looking at some principles on dealing with counseling teenagers. In your son's name we pray. Amen. Well, as we begin, principles to consider when counseling teenagers. The first one I'll give you, it sounds pretty straightforward, but pray for wisdom. Pray for wisdom. James 1:5 says, "But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him." And there is a wisdom issue. And those of you, many of you I look around and know being in track four, your parents or grandparents. And parents of, when I say parents of teenagers. And so you've probably got story after story about this and definitely praying for wisdom. You've got plenty of other verses there. And James 3:17, being one of them, talks about, "But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy, and of good fruits, unwavering and without hypocrisy." Paul Tripp says this in his book, Age of Opportunity, under the title in one of the chapters, "What the Bible Says About Teenagers." We need a biblical understanding of teenagers, but there is a problem. The Bible doesn't say anything about teens. That is a problem. If you looked in your Bible concordance for all the verses on teenagers, you would find none. The period of life that we call adolescence is a fairly recent invention. Yet, at the same time, the Bible gives us a wonderful description of the tendencies of youth. Many of these are found in the book of Proverbs. I'm so thankful for the book of Proverbs. And as you look at the next thing, I want us to spend more time here. View counseling a teenager as an opportunity to impact multiple individuals for God's glory. You may say, well, why? Yeah, but the more people you get in that room, the more complex it gets. I know. But there's more opportunities as well. So we need to be viewing the opportunities and viewing them for what they are. And here's some of the things that we think about when we talk about viewing them as opportunities. You have an opportunity to provide biblical counsel to someone while he is young. You know, Deuteronomy 6, we'll spend some time in a few minutes getting to that, but we are wanting to get individuals to Christ as soon as we can. And that passage, known as the Shema, impresses upon the Jewish nation the importance of children being taught by their parents the Word of God. And we have many examples of those who are understood to be making or to have made good decisions during their teenage years. Here's a few of them. Genesis 37:2. Joseph, he was 17. He was still a youth when he became a slave. He made some great decisions during that time and that difficulty. 1 Samuel 17:33. David and Goliath. We have good understanding that he was a teenager, not a young little boy. I don't think that fits the description of the scriptures there. But in his youth. 1 Kings 22:1 and 2. Josiah, now him being 8 years old when he became a king. Daniel 1:7-17. The four youths, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Luke 2. You think about Mary and Joseph. They were probably pretty young.